You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Tuesday, October 26th. It's also a great pleasure to be joined by three special guests who are here today to discuss and bring us up to speed on ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act, which is channeling large amounts of dollars into Vermont and other states across the country, and also into Vermont's municipalities. The Vermont League of Cities and Towns has a very comprehensive webpage set up to explain how ARPA will work, and you can find it at vlct.org. To give you all the basic background you might need. Essentially, the American Rescue Plan Act, which was passed by Congress, includes about $350 billion for pandemic-related aid to state and local governments across the country. Vermont will be receiving about $1.25 billion of the coronavirus state and local recovery funding from ARPA. About $1 billion of that will be going directly to the state, and they will be spending it on a variety of programs that the state government considers important. And about the other $250 billion or so of that funding will be going directly to Vermont's towns and cities. And select boards and city councils will therefore have discretion over how that money will be spent. So the big question, I guess, is what can that money be spent on? How much are the towns getting? What are some of the rules and restrictions? And when does it have to be all spent by? So here to give us some insights on that, we're really pleased to have with us today Katie Buckley, who is the director of the ARPA Assistance and Coordination Program with the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Katie, good to see you again. You're getting to be an old hand at these conversations. I've enjoyed many of the programs you've been a part of that have been talking about ARPA. Also great to have with us today Nick Zayas, who is the town administrator of Arlington. And again, Nick, welcome back to GNAT. Good to have you with us. And also a great pleasure to be joined today by Callie Fishburne, who is the regional planner of the Bennington County Regional Commission. Callie, thank you for making the time for this. So great to have all three of you here today. Thank you for making the time for the conversation. Katie, I guess I'll start with you, if I may. I wondered, what are some of the areas that towns and municipalities can spend this money on? I know there are some things that are considered appropriate, and others were not so much.
Yep, Treasury was good about saying what you can spend the money on and what you can't spend the money on. They were very clear. So there are basically four buckets into which all spending must fall. So there's pandemic response, which is both public health and economic impact. That's one bucket. The second is premium pay to eligible workers, a little bit of a tongue twister, lost revenue. And the last is water, sewer, and broadband. And so Treasury has issued a compliance and reporting document, and the most valuable piece of that is Appendix 1 in the back. It lists 66 expenditure categories. So as towns are contemplating ways to spend their money, the best thing for them to do is see if it can fit into one of those 66 categories in the back. And that will allow them to have more confidence in terms of the eligible use that they're thinking about spending their money on. And so those are the four buckets of which you can spend your money. What you can't spend your money on is because your ARPA award is a federal grant award, you can't use your ARPA funds to match other federal grant awards. So the best thing for towns to do is they're partnering their ARPA money with other grants in a potential project, read your grant agreements or the program guidance for those other grants and see what's allowable for match to determine whether or not they can use their ARPA money to match other grant funds, but largely if it's a federal grant, they can't. They can't use it for pension funds. They can't use it for other infrastructure not specifically called out in the interim final rule, and they can't use it to fund rainy day funds, financial reserves, or to pay down existing debt. So that's kind of the high level view. And there's a lot in those four buckets. You can make a lot of things fit in those four buckets. I spend most of my day talking about how to fit what seems like a square peg into a round hole.
I'm sure you do. Well, Kelly, let me turn to you. And perhaps you can give us a sort of a countywide perspective here from what you're hearing in the area that the Bennington County Regional Commission covers. What are some of the ideas or suggestions or thoughts, questions that some of the local municipal leaders here in Bennington County are asking you or conversations that you've had with them? What are some of the ideas that are surfacing?
Yeah, I think so. Our towns have really taken VLCT's advice about taking your time and thinking big to heart. I think, you know, we've got a few communities that already know that they want to spend a large portion, if not all, of their ARPA funding on water and sewer. But there are still a lot of communities that are in the very preliminary ideas phase, and they really are trying to think about how this money can have the biggest impact on their communities. So there's a lot of conversations that I've heard and seen about, you know, economic recovery and economic development, and how there can be ARPA can be used to make investments in, you know, community infrastructure and community spaces. Also about public engagement. There's still a lot of towns are trying to think, you know, critically and, you know, thoughtfully about how they want to, you know, meaningfully engage the public. So, you know, some towns are looking at a survey or a public meeting, and, you know, a few I think have places on their website already where you can, you know, put in ARPA suggestions. So I think, yeah, our towns are doing a really great job of thinking carefully about what they want to do with this ARPA funding and, you know, really generating as many, you know, innovative ideas as they can and then vetting them from there.
All right. Well, then let's go down to the local level here. And Nick, what are some of the ideas that have been discussed at your select board meetings in Arlington about how some of this money can be deployed? And I guess also, how much money will Arlington be getting?
So Arlington will be getting between $600,000 and $700,000 in ARPA funding to spend on these projects. The biggest proposal before the board is to clear a couple of planned projects in the water department. There are line replacement projects that are desperately needed in near West Arlington and in Chiselville in Sunderland. And these two areas certainly would benefit from improved water infrastructure. In many cases, the lines there are very, very, very old. And either to the very beginning of the Arlington Water Companies or from their very early years. So these areas have been previously identified. We've had some previous planning and permitting done on them. So they're out. So while some of that work will need to be redone to be eligible for ARPA funds, we certainly have at least some really good preliminary ideas and thoughts on how to spend the bulk of the money. But that's not all of it. We've not had our public meetings to meaningfully engage the public. We still are looking for the ideas from the public, especially to spend the last, say, $50,000 of this money to do some other needed projects. There are work in, say, digitization of the vault to improve access to the land records of the town, and other ideas that are adjacent to that to make digital government a little bit better and make the government more resilient to future needs to come in person to do work with records and things adjacent to that.
Interesting. I guess, Katie, let me go back to you for a quick second here. You know, one of the things I've wondered about is what should really small towns do, or what would be your advice to small towns that don't have municipal sewer or water systems like Nick was just describing there? They're getting what by their standards would be a pretty large chunk of money. but it may not be big enough to, you know, kind of ironically, to kind of be what you might think of as transformative, to do something really major that would upgrade some service in town or something that people might want. Is there any kind of golden rule or guideline around what towns, small towns and villages might do?
If only. A golden rule would be a fantastic thing to have, but there's a lot of gray area. And so to really touch on what actually both Callie and Nick said is ARP is different than any other grant. For anyone who has worked with grants in the past, it is, you never get your funding up front for an unidentified project. That's just not how grants work. So this money is largely discretionary. So public engagement becomes a critical piece of this, especially in those communities that don't have a big infrastructure project they need to do. And so asking your residents what's important to them and prioritizing whether or not it's ARPA eligible is a really beneficial exercise, because you form your big priority list and then you organize it top to bottom on what's most important. And then you identify what can be funded with ARPA and what can't. And those things that cannot be funded, figure out other funding sources that could possibly fund those or connect with partners who might be able to help advance those. So this is a great moment to engage your community and develop a good plan forward for the community in general about what's important, to really test the waters of what's important to residents. So that community engagement piece, we're hearing everything from it just being a standard item that's warned on every select board meeting agenda so that they talk about ARPA every week, to robust community engagement where towns are creating an actual webpage with resources on it, survey on it, and ability to enter a form and provide feedback, all different types, the full gamut in terms of really engaging the public and gathering feedback that way. So for a small town, they might not feel that they have an immediate need on the face of it, but the more that you ask the question of others, a lot bubbles up to the surface to have a dialogue. I visit towns, I'll go to select board meetings and talk with towns, public meetings, we've been doing webinars, anything really to help support even the smallest town, we're available. The RPCs have been a fantastic partner. VLCT and the 11 RPCs throughout the state work hand in glove with each other. Can I take the opportunity to plug our meeting now? We'll do it again at the end. We're hosting a webinar on November 3rd together. Southern Vermont, Wyndham Regional Commission, BCRC, and VLCT will all be there. It's free and open to anybody who wants to participate, correct, Callie?
Yep. So, yep. And if you want to send questions in advance, you can email questions in advance to me at cfishburn@bcrcbt.org. And we've got information about the webinar on our website. And maybe this is a good opportunity to briefly plug BCRC's new ARPA resources page that's just been added to our website. It is going to be regionally focused. You know, VLCT has a really great comprehensive webpage already, so we don't want to replicate everything that they have on there. But, you know, with a focus on some more regional specific resources for Bennington. So, you know, recording of the webinar that we're going to have, and, you know, perhaps recording of this conversation as well. So you can find that on our website by going to bcrcvt.org, and there's a button right on the homepage that says ARPA resources that'll take you right there.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I wanted to ask a question about one area that seems to be on the good list, as it were, for spending ARPA funds, and that's broadband. Now, the state is, as I understand it, is allocated a fairly large chunk of the $1 billion that they're getting to assist communications union districts and help build broadband infrastructure around the state. Does that mean that local towns should be thinking, well, hey, you know, the CUD in my area is sort of being taken care of. We don't need to carve out or set aside a certain portion of our ARPA funds to assist them? Or would it be, you know, wise for them to be thinking along those lines? And I'll throw that out to anybody who wants to tackle that one. Silence.
I can speak from the Bennington perspective a little bit. So I do some work with the Southern Vermont Communications Union District in my role. And they are currently not looking to ask towns to, send some ARPA money their way because they are applying for several larger federal grants through USDA and NTIA. And are waiting on those. That situation could change, but from the Bennington perspective, our CUD for our region is not looking for that at this time, but I imagine it's different all across the state.
Yeah, it's different across the state, depending upon the CUD and the need. I believe the number was $150 million that was appropriated in the last session. And just to sort of keep in mind, as we're talking about state ARPA money and what's being programmed right now and set to be deployed soon is only a little less than half the money. So the next legislative session coming up, the additional $600 million will be allocated. So we don't know how that is going to land, but for right now, $150 million of that is going towards broadband, and I want to say the Vermont Community Broadband Board will be responsible for sort of programming out all of that money. I think a certain percent of it has already been allocated for pre-construction and planning purposes with construction dollars to follow. There's also a pending infrastructure bill on the federal level that can include broadband money, so potential for additional broadband dollars to flow in addition to local ARPA money is a real strong possibility. And so we have towns, that's part of that prioritization process for them. Is broadband their number one issue? And if so, then they might be all in with their ARPA money to make it happen. But if they want to sit back and wait and see if, larger pots of federal money come through and help fund that and get it across the finish line for them. And maybe their ARPA money, instead of seeding it, becomes a gap closer, or maybe not at all. I mean, it's up to the community to really drive that decision. So, but that sort of goes back to that take your time, be patient, think bigger, be strategic piece. And it's, I liken it to playing cards. When do you throw the right card? On when everything, all the dust is settled around the funding. There's lots of opportunities to stack capital right now. And so when to use your ARPA money becomes interesting.
Yeah, well, I was wondering, what do you think towns should do with the money? Because part of it has arrived already, but there's more in the pipeline, I guess. Should they just be stashing it in some sort of a bank account for the time being? Or what would be the best way to go about sort of, keeping that money in a position that they can use it if they needed to, but or save it up for something later and grander?
Yeah. Well, they all have half their money right now. So half of it's been deployed. It's sitting in bank accounts collecting interest, and they can keep the interest. I'm going to lob it over to Nick. What are you guys doing with it? Cash in the bank? Sitting and waiting?
It's sitting in the bank. We certainly appreciate the very novel design of this money that allows the town to keep the interest on this. Certainly is going to help supplement some of these secondary programs. We appreciate all the guidance that has come from those above us and the accounting software providers and things like that about exactly how to appropriately handle this money so that we are doing everything by the book so we can limit our reporting requirements and headaches in the future.
Yeah, great.
And Nick, let me just stay with you for one second because we just had a really interesting and informative housing summit in Arlington, I guess it was last week or so. And I found myself wondering if any of the ARPA money could be used for housing. Or were you thinking of that it might be used in some way to help with that?
So I would say for ARPA, the best analysis or the best way to phrase this it's going to indirectly help housing, where spending money on water in particular, and making sure that the capacity is in the places that we can develop is absolutely important. So having excess water capacity is going to be pivotal if we're going to be seeing a bunch of accessory dwelling units and other, in many cases, well-provided zoning areas and kind of mechanisms through which we can add housing. But that does not work if you have a water resource constraint. So making sure in a place like near West Arlington, which is walkable from the center of town, already fairly dense, that's a kind of place that's ripe for a little bit of garage conversion for these units, but you can't convert garages to units if you don't have water to serve them, and you don't have lots that have septic capacity to handle that. But in some of those cases where the water constraint is real, it's going to be really important that ARPA money be used to alleviate those things so you can actually reach the capacity that you zone for in some of these properties.
Another question I heard recently from someone was whether or not this money could be used for climate change resilience measures. And I'm not sure who wants to tackle this one, but I was wondering, would this involve perhaps spending or being okay to spend the money on things like road culverts or something that might mitigate flooding in some way or another? Would that be considered an acceptable use of the funds? Kelly, have you heard anything along those lines?
I have not. I think I'm going to punt to Katie as more of an expert on this one.
I'm an expert on nothing these days, just to clarify that. You know, I have to give my least favorite answer, which I have to give a lot, which is it depends. So if the project, this is based on conversations I've had with the Agency of Natural Resources, if it is a project that's identified in your municipal roads general permit, then, and Callie, I might ask you or Nick even to back me up on that, because it's been a while since I've touched the municipal roads general permit stuff. I was sort of exiting local government when that was coming into effect, that if it's an item that's identified as being needed to be completed for compliance with your municipal roads general permit, then it would be eligible. Does that sound like it makes sense? So that's how you would address some of those, you know, stone line ditching, culverts, that sort of stuff, ARPA eligible. If you're looking to replace a bridge, no, not ARPA eligible. And other, did you have other ideas, Andrew, around climate?
Well, there's been so much talk about, you know, climate change and building more resilience into, you know, municipal infrastructure. Culverts was just the one thing that came up, but I suppose, I don't know.
Culverts is a pretty popular one.
But maybe improving roads in some way, I'm just trying to think here.
I could throw in something like, say, facilities improvements that maybe make your building more COVID resilient, something like improved HVAC systems that typically are going to have a great climate effect. Something like that may fall a little bit closer to that area of allowable expense. Well, I'm not going to claim any expertise on any particular project.
And I think to piggyback off what Nick was saying before too about how, you know, improvements in water and sewer can indirectly have a positive effect on housing, I think the same could be said for having an indirect positive effect on climate change resiliency as well, especially like, you know, if you have more of that water infrastructure and you can encourage more dense infill development, that is more energy efficient. If you have, you know, clustered development and, you know, uses less energy, and that is, you know, overall net positive effect for the climate. So I think there's a lot of different ARPA projects around, you know, infrastructure that while they might not explicitly be, you know, implemented to address, you know, climate change resiliency, they can have an indirect positive effect on climate change resiliency.
Well, we have time, I think, for about one last question. before we have to run here. And there's so much to cover on this area, you know, that we haven't touched upon. Things like cybersecurity, for instance, I know is another area where apparently the green light is on. But I was just wondering who towns and select boards will come up with, I'm sure, a lot of creative ideas on what they might want to do. But will they have to pass muster in some way by the state government in some form? Is there some kind of process by which you submit an application and then someone in Montpelier says, nope?
Their relationship is the municipality and U.S. Treasury. There is no in between there. And so the legislative body of the municipality is the arbiter of the use. So that's why really doing the due diligence and ensuring that it fits into one of those 66 categories, and you can write a narrative that passes the straight face test to defend why it will fit into that category, then you're good. But the municipality decides. We all can, the RPCs and VLCT, we give, you know, opinion on what we think. Callie, I'm sure you talk with a lot of communities about what they're proposing and say, tell me more about your project. And then all of a sudden, you know, a town office, yes, HVAC's in there. It's like ARPA eligible. What else are you doing in your town office? So maybe you do an HVAC, you're digitizing your land records, you lump a project together, and all of a sudden you're able to do an impactful project for your, you know, local government or your town or whatever that on its face maybe didn't feel ARPA eligible, but when you dig deeper into it, the components of it address impact of COVID. I hope that makes sense.
Wow. So much to talk about with this. And fortunately, as you said earlier, Callie, the BCRC will be having a webinar or a discussion about ARPA funding coming up on November 3rd, I think at 4:00. And I guess if folks want to, you know, should they email you to get the Zoom invite or to register for it? Would that be the way to go?
Well, actually, pre-registration isn't necessary. You can find the Zoom information right at the top of our ARPA resources page. But if you do have a question in advance, you can send me a question in advance, and we can send them to Katie, and she might be able to address them during the webinar. Or you can just come with your questions and ask them then. That is on our ARPA resources page. Again, just on our home, if you go to our homepage, bcrcvt.org, and there's a ARPA resources button that'll take you right there. And I just a quick plug that, yeah, the municipal, the regional planning commissions have some funding to help municipalities with their ARPA, the ARPA process and projects, and, you know, VLCT is great and has a whole bunch of resources as well. So there's a lot of resources and support available to municipalities.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, but boy, I'm sure we could talk for a while longer on this very fascinating and interesting subject. And one last thought is the money doesn't have to be spent until 2026, is it?
Obligated by December 31st, 2024, and fully expended by December 31st, 2026. Anything not spent goes back to Treasury.
So towns have the ability to kind of sit and think and,
you know, lots of runway.
All right. Well, great. Well, I want to thank you all again for making the time for this conversation. Katie Buckley of the Vermont League of Cities and Towns, Callie Fishburne from the Bennington County Regional Commission, and Nick Zayek, the town administrator of Arlington. Again, thanks for being with us. And all of you who have been out there watching, I hope you found the program interesting. And, if you want to learn more, tune into the BCRC show here on November 3rd. I'm sure there'll be plenty more information to come from many sources after that as well. And meanwhile, thanks for being with us, and have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.